This program contains explicit content and subject matter which may be unsuitable for some listeners. Discretion is advised. Sex Out Loud is brought to you by Good Vibrations, creating a buzz since 1977.
Smart. Sexy. Kinky. Fun.
Welcome to Sex Out Loud with your host, sex educator, author, and filmmaker, Tristan Taramino. It's sex-positive radio like you've never heard before. Tristan talks about sexuality from every angle with leading authors, experts, artists, and icons. From sex education and sexual politics to BDSM and non-monogamy, nothing is off limits. So get ready to open your mind and expand your horizons. This is Sex Out Loud. And now here's your host, Tristan Taramino.
Welcome to Sex Out Loud, everyone. We're live today, so you can give us a call at 866-472-5788, 866-472-5788. You can ask us sex questions, relationship questions. You can comment on what we're talking about. And if you're feeling shy, you could also post questions on our Twitter feed at Sex Out Loud Radio. Remember, if you call in and get on the air, you win a prize from Sports Sheets. Who doesn't want a prize from Sports Sheets? I don't know that it will get to you in time for that big holiday that's coming up next week, but it will get there shortly after, and it would be a good gift, even a belated gift. I also want to remind you that next month in January, I will be in Los Angeles. I'm teaching an anal sex class at SHE, which is the Sexual Health Expo. And then I'm also teaching a class on open relationships at the Pleasure Chest in LA. And I now have all the info about how to register, blah, blah, blah. All of that is on the tour page of puckerup.com. So hopefully I will see some of you West Coasters very soon. And then I guess the most big announcement for the evening, which is that next week will be my final show on Voice America. That's right. My time at Voice America has come to an end. And I just want to say this has been one of the most challenging, thrilling, rewarding experiences of my entire professional career. I love the radio. I love fans and listeners who come up to me and tell me about shows they like or what they learned or all sorts of stuff. I love all of you out there. And my time in radio is not coming to an end, just at Voice America. There are big things happening in 2015. I wish I could tell you all about every single one of them, but I can't quite yet. You know, I'm a little superstitious. But what I want to tell you is either Sex Out Loud will be coming back or another radio show. That's the most information I can give you. And I want you to just check sexoutloudradio.com. I want you to follow both me and Sex Out Loud Radio on Twitter. And Twitter will probably be the first place where I'll break the news. So do not fear. You're going to have one more great show next week. You're having a great show today. And then, you know, change happens. That's life, people. And I'm ready for the next chapter. Okay, so remember, we're live, 866-472-5788, 866-472-5788. Let me tell you about today's guest. Megan Andew, founder and executive director of the Center for Sexual Pleasure and Health, is a clinical sexologist, an ASECT-certified sexuality educator, and an ISSWSH fellow. Her innovative education programs, writing, social media presence, and ambitious speaking schedule have helped make her one of America's most recognized and sought-after experts in the growing field of sexual pleasure, health, and politics. She has delivered her dynamic programs at more than 175 institutions of higher education, including 7 of the 8 Ivy League universities. We'll find out which one hasn't had her yet. And she's an adjunct instructor at the Brown University Medical School. In 2012, Megan received the first Trax Award for Innovation in Sexology by Honest Exchange. And she published her first book called Hot and Fast, Sexy Spontaneous Quickies for Passionate Orgasms. She has also written timely consumer feature stories, industry trend reports, and journal articles for the education and research communities. She is a colleague, a peer, a friend, one of the best sex educators working in the field today. I am so psyched to have her on. Welcome to Sex Out Loud, Megan.
Oh, thank you. Hi.
Okay, so I want to start at the center, which is really a big piece of the puzzle here and what you do. Tell me how the Center for Sexual Pleasure and Health was founded, why you decided to found it, and what you do there.
Sure. So I've been, like you've been, in the field for a really long time. I started out working at Planned Parenthood and did sex education with high-risk youth and loved it. And used to get in trouble a lot because I would talk about masturbation. I was like, you can't get pregnant and you can't get an STI as long as you don't do it in public. We're golden, right? But the school systems didn't really like that very much. So I started working part-time at a feminist-run sex toy shop at night. And when I was working there, I noticed that the adults were asking the same questions that the teenagers were asking. And the teenagers were asking questions that adults were asking. Mm-hmm. So I started thinking to myself, like, we're not talking about sex the way that people are engaging in sex. And we're compartmentalizing. And why can't we create a space and an organization in which we can talk about all of the things? So I just decided to start the center to be kind of like if Planned Parenthood and a sex toy shop had a baby, that's what the CSPH would be.
And why do you think that there is still so much resistance to whether it's something fundamental like masturbation or just to explicit sex education at places like Planned Parenthood and in the more mainstream sex ed world?
Why is there so much resistance? I think that pleasure is scary because I think that it boils down to taking control of your body. And I think that our society has said that there are certain aspects in which we can take control of our body, but that's still a very political and divisive statement and belief. And I think that masturbation and pleasure just goes too far for people to comfortably handle as an organization.
And when you were coming up with a plan to do this, were there people who said, if you put sexual pleasure in the name of your center, you're going to be in big trouble?
Oh, absolutely. But I'm very stubborn. And usually if someone says no to me, that's usually when I'm like, well, now I'm going to dig my heels in.
Well, and actually, there was a little bit of pushback, as I recall, when you first started the center that centered around some local anti-sex feminists, right?
Absolutely. Yeah, I decided to testify about, because at the time, indoor prostitution was legal in Rhode Island, and they were trying to criminalize it. A local organization that was spearheaded by two individuals at University of Rhode Island, and which is where I graduated from. And so I decided to testify that criminalizing sex work was not going to keep women safer or make our communities safer. And that was a big moment to do that at the time of opening a business.
Mm-hmm. Because you automatically aligned yourself with sex workers and saying that you weren't anti-sex work.
Right. Which I'm not anti-sex work. And I think it's really important to stand with sex workers and support their safety and their rights. But I got labeled in the press as, I think my favorite was a heavily tattooed woman who called herself a sex educator. And then it just kind of spiraled, in which I became a sex trafficker that was printed in the newspaper, that I was really going to be teaching BDSM to children, that it was going to be an abortion clinic. It was pretty magical, sarcastically.
And did it put the center in jeopardy?
Yes. So the center was not allowed to open because the town was, they said that they were not concerned about the fact that it was a sex education center that was publicly put on the record, even though they kept asking me what and how I was going to be using the dildos.
Oh, just exactly how you think I am.
Right. they said that it wasn't allowed to open because the center wasn't properly zoned. So the legal reason was that education was not permitted to take place in the building where I was located.
Oh my God. But this was all political. I mean, this was just them looking for an excuse and some sort of obscure loophole.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I sat through many town hall meetings, many zoning committees. I met with many city officials, was almost arrested by the Pawtucket police for saying that I was going to be opening the center. It was a long 6 months, but it really did, you know, as hard as it was, it really elevated the conversation in regards to sex education in America and adult sex education, because, you know, Pawtucket, Rhode Island started having conversations about, do adults need sex education, or is that something only teens need, and who has the right, and should that even be available? I mean, one of the concerns that came up was that there were nursing homes nearby and that the elderly should not be exposed to that type of environment. And, you know, it's really interesting in terms of who has access to sex education. When does our society say it's okay for you to now know about this?
Right, right. And in some ways, this idea that you might use, like, quote unquote props,
yeah,
you know, is some of the same discrimination that these sex shops face, right?
Absolutely.
Which is like that they're bad for the neighborhood.
Right, right.
Because they sell sex toys, which doesn't even make any sense, which is like such an old school idea.
And it's you know, those family-friendly towns are popping up more often in which the communities are like no to any adult materials. And I always question, like, you know, how do you think families get started? Really? Like, why?
Right, right. It's a big contradiction. I mean, in our country, definitely.
Right.
Okay, we've got to take our first break. How did that happen? I don't know. Okay, we are going to take a break, and when we come back, we're going to hear a little bit more about the Center for Sexual Pleasure and Health, and I'm going to ask Megan to give advice to all of you budding sex educators. I know a lot of you listen to the show, people who are in the industry, who want to get into the industry, and Megan is like a wealth of information for that. So stay where you are. Don't go anywhere. Think about maybe posting a question or calling us, and we will be right back after the break.
Streaming live, the leader in internet talk radio, VoiceAmerica.com.
Good Vibrations is the San Francisco Bay Area-based women-friendly retailer trusted for more than three decades to provide a comfortable, welcoming, and safe environment for quality sex toys, educational materials, and products that enhance and empower one's sex life. Good Vibrations offers its products at six retail locations in San Francisco, Berkeley, and Oakland, California, and in Brookline, Massachusetts, as well as online at www.goodvibes.com. Online ordering is discreet and trusted. We believe that pleasure is your birthright, and one of our highly trained staff members can help you choose the product that is perfect for you at 1-800-BUY-VIBE. Call us 7 days a week from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. Pacific Time at 1-800-289-8423. or visit us online at www.goodvibes.com.
Ready to take your sex life to the next level? Let Tristan Taramino's award-winning expert guide sex education series help. Each DVD is packed with honest information, explicit techniques, scorching sex scenes, authentic chemistry, and real female orgasms. Go to puckerup.com and use coupon code SEXOUTLOUD for 25% off your order.
You're tuned in to Sex Out Loud with your host, Tristan Taramino. We want to hear from you. If you have a question or comment, please send an email to Tristan at puckerup.com. That's Tristan at puckerup.com. Now back to the show.
Welcome back to Sex Out Loud, everyone. Today we are talking with Megan and you, founder and executive director of the Center for Sexual Pleasure and Health. And we are live. So if you've got sex ed questions, we've got answers. Give us a call at 866-472-5788. 866-472-5788. You can also post questions on our Twitter feed at Sex Out Loud Radio. So before the break, we talked about this very rocky start to the Center for Sexual Pleasure and Health. But obviously, you ultimately prevailed.
I did.
Over all this kind of bullshit that was thrown your way.
Yes. Yeah. I eventually threatened to go to the Daily Show and tell the John that the city of Pawtucket did not want education to take place.
Oh, my God. Town. And I know they would have had a field day with that.
Oh, my God. They would have gone crazy. And the center was approved to open the very next day.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
So one of the things that I know that you offer at the center is resources and classes for people who want to get into the field of sex education.
Yes.
So tell me about that stuff.
So we have a really strong internship program for local and distance individuals, for people who are looking to learn more about the field. Like if they want to be focusing in on social media, or if they want to be doing education, if they want to be a social worker, if they want to go into medicine, we provide opportunities for them to gain skills in the field of sex education, because it's really confusing in terms of how to get into this. Do you want to do it? What are the avenues? So the internship kind of gives them a 3 to 6 month long experience of putting their hands in as many pockets as they can. They shadow a bunch of educators and do work that the employees do, so they can really see what it's like to run a sex education center. And then we offer a lot of workshops on getting into the field. So 3 to 4 hour trainings of picking the schools, what is your passion, what do you need to do in order to feel fulfilled, what are the certifying organizations, do you want to get certified, and applying to schools.
And you also do you do SARs also?
We do.
Okay, let's explain what that, sorry, that was a little thing for me. Let's explain what that is and how it's helpful.
So a SAR is a sexual attitude reassessment, and we do 3-day SARs that start at 9 a.m. and they end at 6:30, in which individuals come together. Usually they should not be more than 15 people at a time. You watch a video and you process your feelings about how you feel about that video and the experiences that you saw. Because many times when people are learning about sexuality, especially in higher education, it's very heady, it's very intellectual, and it doesn't get at the core of, like, how are you interacting with this aspect of another person's life? Because as sexuality educators, we never know what somebody is going to be asking us and how we're going to react to it. So the SAR is designed to let you have space to experience feelings and figure out what those feelings are about different aspects of sexuality, so you can figure out what are the things that you should be talking about and what are the things that you should stay very, very far away from. because you might do damage to somebody because you're just not comfortable talking about it, you know?
So it really helps you kind of find and reveal some of your own biases.
Absolutely, which I think is essential for people in our field.
Absolutely. I mean, I think it's essential for anyone in any field. You know, I mean, I feel like people feel like, you know, people's biases will affect how they then, you know, give you service or teach you or, you know, and I think it's important. I mean, do you think people walk away from the SARS having opened their minds a little about things that they never thought they would? Or do you feel like they're sort of, they came in one way and they left that way?
No, I have designed the SAR with, so I co-facilitated the SAR with this amazing social worker, Joseph Nguyen. And we created the SAR to push people. So every single person walks out of there different from how they walked in. It's a very intense experience. We have people sign consent forms being like, this is going to be hard. This is going to be challenging. You are going to get really pushed to look at yourself and look at what you are feeling in your body. And, you know, most people, they have physical reactions. It's not a shock and awe. So some SARs are designed to show people a lot of porn. Ours are really looking at how people are interacting with sexuality. And so we're looking at things like body image and race and class and, you know, fetishes and the hard, hard topics, you know, coercion. What does coercion look like in the many different forms as opposed to what we normally hear? So we weave in 26 different topics over 3 days. It's a lot.
And I think it's a sort of a necessary, wouldn't you say it's like everyone who wants to be a sex educator should take one of these?
Absolutely. I would be very wary if somebody had not.
Yeah, because I do feel like it's sort of a necessary step in your development as a professional.
Yes.
And go ahead.
SARS were actually originally created for the medical community, for physicians.
And you do some work, lots of work actually, with physicians and with people in medicine, which I'm fascinated about this because it's a crowd I don't get to talk to at all. And it's one that I feel like desperately needs more sex ed.
Yes.
Is that, first of all, is that an accurate statement? I mean, do you feel like you get in there and start talking and people don't have a basic working knowledge around Absolutely. Sexuality issues?
Absolutely. I mean, we've got individuals who are usually very young. So, you know, we're looking at medical students and then we're looking at medical professionals. But within all of those, a lot of times they have been taught like not to look at their feelings and really not, they don't have many opportunities to sexually experiment and to dive in to what many other people do because they're so focused in on studying and they tend to be a little bit more reserved. I love medical students in the medical community, but they tend to be a little bit more reserved, a little bit more conservatives socially and sexually. So they don't have as many opportunities to explore and time to like really read about sexuality. And medicine does not, at this point, value sex education. So they're...
Okay, wait, we have to back up that statement. Because that is a heavy statement that they don't support it. I mean, I've heard, is this true that like in all of medical school, they get one lecture on sex?
So it depends. So right now, there are no standards for sex education in medical school. There is no question in which they are being tested on. And so each school can make their own determination of what, if anything, will be taught about sexuality.
So you could go to medical school and not have even a lecture on sex.
Yes, absolutely. So, for instance, I will give you an example. One of the schools that I was teaching at was teaching how to, so I teach how to do a pelvic exam. And there was a physician who had been practicing who was at the school to learn how to do a pelvic exam, even though he had been a physician for 5 years. He was at the school, which was two states away from where he practiced and where he lived, because he was not allowed, based on his culture, to learn how to do a pelvic exam or examine genitalia of a different gender. And so he had gone through medical school, never seen a vulva, never done a pelvic exam, and decided to take a risk and travel two states away to learn how to take a sexual history and how to do a pelvic exam.
And what was his field? Like, what was his specialty?
He was internal medicine.
Like primary care?
Yeah.
Which lots of people go to their primary care physician, A, for their annual pap smear, or yes. B, with a sexual issue.
Yes. So last week I was in Minnesota with a group of individuals. It's a sexual health summit with two of the former surgeon generals, and it's about 45 individuals in the United States that gather to, we're setting up standards for creating a sex education standardized program for all the medical schools in the country.
Wow, and you're a part of that.
Yeah.
Thank God.
I know, very exciting.
No, but it really does sort of scare me how little knowledge doctors have. And yet people will tell you all the time when they have a sexual issue, they'll ask their doctor.
Right. That is where most Americans think that they should be going and getting the answers about sex. And unfortunately, most of the physicians do not have the answers or are comfortable talking about it. And the research shows over and over and over again that patients want to talk about sexuality to their doctors and their sexual questions to their doctors, but they want the doctors to bring up the conversation first. And most doctors say that they are terrified to bring up the conversation for fear of offending or not knowing the answer. But if the patient asked the question, then they would be willing to talk about it.
I mean, this is also just fascinating and so strange, because where if you're taking the history of someone, right, and you're looking at them holistically, like how much sleep have you been getting? Right. What do you exercise? What do you eat? What's a typical day like? I mean, it seems to me that sexual history is just as important as all those other questions. Yes. And again, you're doing it like in a totally appropriate way, right?
Right.
But if the doctors aren't comfortable, I feel like that immediately also sends a signal, which is it's modeling this sort of silence, and it's modeling discomfort around talking about sexuality issues, which then you read as, okay, this is not the person to talk to you about this.
Right. Or this obviously isn't an important thing.
Maybe. Right. Yeah. And it's, so it seems like cut off from the rest of the person's health in some way.
Right. And so a lot of medical students currently are advocating for change, but they've got their attendings, they've got the medical schools, they've got the governing boards, you know, like the boards that determine the questions that the residents and the medical students have to know before they can graduate have recently cut their standards even more. So like pediatricians, as of July, pediatricians no longer have to know about birth control.
Whoa. Okay. Full disclosure. I went to my pediatrician to get birth control pills. I was 16 and my mother brought me, and I had this great pediatrician who I'd grown up with, who I really loved, who was also did primary care. And that's who I got birth control from.
Yep.
Wow.
Yeah. And so the standards have changed. And so they are no longer required. And that's really important, because when there aren't requirements, the schools aren't required to talk about it. And other topics get pushed to the front. And the big thing with the medical school is that there's never enough time. Mm-hmm. If a medical student gets between 3 to 12 hours of sex education, they are in the higher standards of receiving sex education compared to the rest of the medical students in the country.
Wow. Wow. Okay. We have to talk more about this, but we have to take another break.
Okay.
We are going to continue to talk about this really crappy thing that's going on in medical schools, how Megan's going to change it, and how she's just basically going to change the world. So stay with us. More Sex Out Loud when we return.
The Internet's number one talk station. Number one talk station. VoiceAmerica.com.
Good Vibrations is the San Francisco Bay Area-based women-friendly retailer trusted for more than three decades to provide a comfortable, welcoming, and safe environment for quality sex toys, educational materials, and products that enhance and empower one's sex life. Good Vibrations offers its products at six retail locations in San Francisco, Berkeley, and Oakland, California, and in Brookline, Massachusetts, as well as online at www.goodvibes.com. Online ordering is discreet and trusted. We believe that pleasure is your birthright, and one of our highly trained staff members can help you choose the product that is perfect for you at 1-800-BUY-VIBE. Call us 7 days a week from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. Pacific Time at 1-800-289-8423 or visit us online at www.goodvibes.com.
Sportsheets is the sex toy company that's been keeping couples connected for over 20 years. Their fantasy restraint and sex toy products redefine sexual adventure. From bondage and sexual positioning to strap-ons and role play, Sportsheets makes a toy for everyone's taste and budget. So go treat yourself to something from Sportsheets, available wherever great sex products are sold.
Ready to take your sex life to the next level? Let Tristan Taramino's award-winning expert guide sex education series help. Each DVD is packed with honest information, explicit techniques, scorching sex scenes, authentic chemistry, and real female orgasms. Go to puckerup.com and use coupon code SEXOUTLOUD for 25% off your order.
You're tuned in to Sex Out Loud with your host, Tristan Taramino. We want to hear from you. If you have a question or comment, please send an email to Tristan at puckerup.com. That's Tristan at puckerup.com. Now back to the show.
Welcome back to Sex Out Loud, everyone. I want to give a huge shout out of thanks and love to my presenting sponsor, Good Vibrations. Listen, it is not too late for you to do your Christmas shopping. That's right. You can go to goodvibes.com and they've got free 2-day shipping with any $100 purchase or more. It's valid online only and it's up until December 22nd, noon Pacific time. They also have this great guide where if you order by the 22nd and get UPS 2-day, you'll have it by Christmas. If you order by the 23rd and get UPS next day, for all you super late shoppers, you can still do your Christmas shopping. And there's, if nothing else, you want to go to the homepage of Good Vibes right now because there is this amazing ad for the Magic Wand, which is, as you know, one of the most popular vibrators in the world. And they have this animated Magic Wand and it's pretty, it's very compelling. I'm not going to say anymore. They're also doing lots and lots of holiday gift guides and lots of sales, and they're changing that stuff up like every single day. So go to goodvibes.com, get your free 2-day shipping, or you can also use coupon code Tristan for 15% off your order. We're live today, and I know you want to talk to me. This may be your last chance, people. That sounds so dramatic. It's not. Okay, 866-472-5788, 866-472-5788. You can also post questions on our Twitter feed, @SexOutLoudRadio, where Raymond is diligently live tweeting our show right as we speak. Okay. In case you're just joining us, which would be super weird, but I'm not going to judge. Let me tell you that my guest is Megan and you. How was that?
You did a really good job with that.
Okay.
Really well.
I'm trying to like get better and bigger, but I should say it with more confidence, like Megan and you.
Yay.
There. She's the founder and executive director of the Center for Sexual Pleasure and Health. And before the break, we were talking about the work you do in medical schools, which is clearly crucial work because they're not doing it themselves. Yep. And actually, a guest who was on my show just a couple of weeks ago, Dr. Ruthie, tweeted, "This conversation reminds me of psychotherapists, where some are really well-trained in sex, sexuality, and gender, and some are not." So is there a medical school or a few that you have gone to where you feel like they're doing it right? They're doing something really great with sex ed?
Well, I know that Brown recently created... So Robert Wood Johnson Medical School had a sex week, but they just discontinued it after like 15 years. They had a week, which was more than most of the schools get. Brown has picked up an elective, a sexual health elective. And so we meet for 12 weeks for 2 hours at a time, going over different sexuality topics that medical providers should be aware of. And then I hear rumors that Columbia is starting a program right now.
Oh.
Yeah.
And so what would you say is one of the most common questions you get asked by medical students? What do they like want to know? What do they need to know?
What do they want to know? They want to know how they can talk about sexuality without making their patients uncomfortable. That is probably the biggest question that they have.
And what do you tell them?
I tell them that they're going to be uncomfortable because most of the time people aren't talking about this, but just because you're uncomfortable doesn't mean that you shouldn't talk about it. And with more practice, you will get comfortable, which will display to your patients that this is healthy part of their health care. This is a normal part of their health care. And so practice makes perfect. And so a lot of the work that I'm doing is building muscle memory skills for them to become comfortable talking about sexuality because they usually haven't received that growing up and medical schools aren't teaching that. So while I'm teaching them the facts and anatomy and like health issues, I'm also teaching them how to communicate about sex.
I mean, it's so funny. It just comes right back to that. It's like the thing that we're constantly teaching over and over. It's in this environment too.
Yes.
What do you think they don't know anything about, medical school students?
Oh, they do not know anything about sex toys. Sex toys is a big mystery. Like, what is this? There's a lot of questions about ejaculation.
I would imagine female ejaculation. And is there misinformation? Are they all like, no, it's pee?
There is, yeah. Some people are still learning about it. There's a lot of misinformation in regards to the vulva. So we're still kind of having debates about that. So that's hard.
What is there to debate, Megan?
This is a serious thing in terms of, I was arguing with one of the professors who said that the outer labia is always larger than the inner labia.
Such a no-no.
And I'm like, that's not true.
Hasn't seen enough of diversity.
Right. And so we had an argument in front of the class about that.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. So there's some still basic stuff because that's the thing is if you say that casually to someone like a patient and they have bigger inner labia than outer labia, they're going to think something's wrong with them.
Right.
Which, oh yeah.
Right.
Okay. Now, I was curious to find out which Ivy League school has not yet had you speak.
Because
we should... Where?
Cornell.
Oh my God. Okay. I've spoken to Cornell several times.
Really?
I can make that happen.
Yes.
Okay. This is fantastic. Cause if you said like Dartmouth, I'd be like, yeah, that nut, I cannot crack it. But cause Dartmouth can be a little, it's smaller and conservative. So I haven't been to Dartmouth, but okay. I can get you to Cornell. I really can.
Well, if you're interested in Dartmouth, I can get you to Dartmouth.
Okay, good. Well, so we'll talk after this.
Okay.
So weird. Cornell. So weird. And they have this, you know, you should go a day early because they have this amazing human sexuality collection archives.
Really?
Oh, my God. Which includes all of Susie Wright's personal and professional papers.
Oh, my goodness.
As well as all the On Our Backs papers.
Oh, my God.
And all of this, like, ephemera and... I don't think they have like toys of any kind, but they have a lot of archive. I mean, it's one of the largest sexuality archives in the world. And it's like sort of sitting at Cornell being quiet in the corner, kind of. Right?
Wow. Wow.
And so what do you, I mean, we both speak at a lot of colleges and universities, but you do it about twice as often as I do because you're, I don't know, a robot. No. What do you think... Is the climate right now on college campuses around sexuality? Because I feel like the mainstream media loves to sort of say, it's all hookup culture, it's this, it's that. But then there are real concerns around sexual assault and consent that are really coming to the forefront right now. Do you feel like there are some common themes that emerge as you go from campus to campus?
Yeah, I do. What I'm noticing is that, especially in the past couple years, I've been noticing that a lot of students are more scared.
Mm.
And I think that is because of the messages that we have been giving of, if you have sex, you're going to die. And there's a lot of more fear I have noticed in the past 2 years than I have over the rest of the time that I've been doing this. Which is a little sad, but it's not like they aren't interested in learning how to work through that, but there is a lot of fear.
Yeah, and I, you know, that's the basis for abstinence-only education, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's just terror.
Yeah.
I mean, it's meant to scare you.
Yeah.
Shame you as well, but I think scare you first and foremost.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, like, how are people going to have healthy sexual relationships if they start off afraid.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one of the things that I've been noticing. The other thing that I have also seen and heard a lot of is I've been having a lot of young men coming up to me and disclosing that they had been sexually assaulted for the first time.
Wow.
Yeah. So in the past year, I would say one out of every... two presentations, I have at least one male disclosing sexual assault to me.
Wow.
Yeah.
And do you think that's because there's a greater awareness around sexual assault? There's more discussion, there's more education that men are coming forward?
I think that the discussions are happening. I also want to say, like, this is my observation, right? So I've also started changing how I talk about certain topics. And so one of the things that I've really started infusing into a lot of conversations is, just because somebody has an erection doesn't mean that they're consenting to having sex with you. Just because somebody's vagina is lubricated doesn't mean that they're consenting to having sex with you. And I don't know if I'm opening a door for people to disclose that more, or if it's the culture, or if it's both of those things or more.
Right. But
I notice that with my language changes, there have been more conversations that have taken place.
Well, that's a really important shift there, right there.
Yeah.
And it means that they feel safe with you.
Hopefully. Yeah.
Yeah. And that you've given them permission.
Yeah.
Okay, do you believe we have to take another break? We do. We have to take another break. When we come back, it's your last chance to talk to Megan and I. Please, people, call us, win a prize, or, you know, you can put it on Twitter at Sex Out Loud Radio. But you can call us 866-472-5788, 866-472-5788. Coming up next is Ask Tristan, and tonight it's Ask Tristan and and ask Megan. You're going to get two sex experts for the price of one. And the price, by the way, is you listening to these commercials and you supporting my sponsors. So don't fast forward, don't pause, whatever you do. Listen to those commercials. That's the price. And then come on back.
Stimulating talk
gets those synapses in the brain firing really fast.
All the time. The number one internet talk station where your opinion counts. VoiceAmerica.com.
Good Vibrations is the San Francisco Bay Area-based women-friendly retailer trusted for more than three decades to provide a comfortable, welcoming, and safe environment for quality sex toys, educational materials, and products that enhance and empower one's sex life. Good Vibrations offers its products at six retail locations in San Francisco, Berkeley, and Oakland, California, and in Brookline, Massachusetts, as well as online at www.goodvibes.com. Online ordering is discreet and trusted. We believe that pleasure is your birthright, and one of our highly trained staff members can help you choose the product that is perfect for you at 1-800-BUY-VIBE. Call us 7 days a week from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. Pacific Time at 1-800-289-8423 or visit us online at www.goodvibes.com.
Ready to take your sex life to the next level? Let Tristan Taramino's award-winning expert guide sex education series help. Each DVD is packed with honest information, explicit techniques, scorching sex scenes, authentic chemistry, and real female orgasms. Go to puckerup.com and use coupon code SEXOUTLOUD for 25% off your order.
You're tuned in to Sex Out Loud with your host, Tristan Taramino. We want to hear from you. If you have a question or comment, please send an email to Tristan at puckerup.com. That's Tristan at puckerup.com. Now back to the show.
Welcome back to Sex Out Loud, everyone. This hour has been flying by, at least from where I'm sitting. I don't know about you. We've been talking with Megan and you, founder and executive director of the Center for Sexual Pleasure and Health. So before the break, we were talking about college campuses. I want to transition into this Ask Tristan, Ask Megan segment, but I want to find out first, because I know you wrote an entire book on sexy, spontaneous quickies.
Yes.
So I think it behooves you to give our listeners one or two tips on how to have a great quickie.
Oh, okay. So, great quickie. I think one is redefining what a quickie is. Mm. So, you know, it can be a quick fondle. It could be like masturbating and sending a picture of yourself as you're having an orgasm to your partner. It's a great way to break up the workday. But I think
using an app that hopefully will erase that.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
You know, just putting it out there.
I think it's really important that we redefine what a quickie is, because it's so stuck in terms of like, oh, you know, it's always got to involve an orgasm and got to go inside somebody's body. I'm like, oh my goodness, there's so many other ways that we can play. So that's one of the big things that I really talk a lot about, because I think it's important. And the other thing too is to think about the mood that you're in when you are looking for a quickie, because it doesn't always have to be frantic. It can be like slow and sensual, and you can still have a great quickie through some slow, sexy time.
Yeah. You could also be sleepy and have a great quickie.
Yeah.
You just have to surrender to the fact that you're having a sleepy quickie.
Right.
I'm totally with you. Okay. So our first question comes from L, the letter L. Hi, Tristan. I'm a straight guy in my 30s, and I'm looking to expand my threshold for disease risk slightly to make some of my fantasies more possible. I don't come from a super religious household or have abstinence-only sex ed, but I did grow up in the 90s when AIDS was far more lethal. I think I absorbed a lot of the messages floating around then and now about the dangers of sex. I still date and I have fun with condoms, gloves, and of course, getting tested and asking partners about test results. So I don't have a crippling sex hypochondria or anything. Those are your words, not mine. But I'm also interested in being more open to occasional group play or more casual encounters. And I think my hesitation in seeking all that out is mostly anxiety about sexually transmitted infections. I realize that some fantasies aren't meant to be fulfilled, and perhaps that's the answer here, or perhaps it's too late for me to change. But do you have any advice or tools of introspection that might help me have slightly less fear and shame about STIs, or a more objective sense of the risks I'm taking? I don't want to have zero fear and suddenly get super risky, but I have more anxiety than I think I need. This fits right into some of what you were talking about with the college kids.
Yeah.
And again, proves that we're, you know, these issues are lifelong issues for sexually transmitted infections and risk-aware sex.
Yeah.
It's not just college kids.
Yeah.
So what do you think?
So, you know, I think that, one, it's important to be aware of risks, and it sounds that this person is, but we take risks every single day of our lives. You know, you get out of bed, you risk tripping over a cord. You walk out of your house, you risk getting hit by a plane that fell out of the sky. And society doesn't really talk much about those things, so we move more comfortably in the world. And I think that we spend so much time talking about all the bad things that can happen during sex that it tends to elevate those risks. So, yes, there are risks that can occur. Are they as likely as to happen as much as you hear about them? Probably not. But there are definitely things that you can do to reduce, but it depends on the behavior, you know?
Yeah, I think in some ways it's fascinating because this person grew up in the 90s. I also sort of came of age sexually in the 90s. And so for me, because the specter of AIDS was there in the moment when I was becoming sexually aware and sexually active, safer sex barriers were always part of my sex life.
Yep.
Because that was just like, that's what was going on in that moment.
Right.
And I think it is trickier for people born in different times, like the, you know, the generation that is growing up now and coming into college, you know, they see AIDS as a totally different situation.
Yep.
Than I did. But I agree that I think it can hold you back if you don't sort of strike a balance between, you know, between taking care of yourself and being smart and then, you know, taking precautions.
Right. And also recognize, you know, I think the other thing too is recognizing, like, if you get an infection, it's not the end of the world. Like, infections happen. More people get infections and get them treated than people who don't.
Right.
And
right. Great point.
I think that that's really hard because I think that society associates getting infected with something as you're dirty, you're diseased. And we really take it as a blow to our soul.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah.
And so that sets that fear up. But there, you know, I'm going to say something harsh, but it's something that most of my medical community friends say behind closed doors is somebody comes in, and I notice this at Planned Parenthood. Somebody comes in and they get a herpes diagnosis, and you can hear them crying in the next room. Mm-hmm. I could almost always tell when somebody was getting a herpes diagnosis versus other types of infections. Right? There's a lot of stigma associated with it.
Absolutely.
And most of the medical community people that I work with are like, it's herpes or it's HPV. Almost everyone gets it. Why is this such a blow? to individuals. And I'm like, well, come on, like, let's have some compassion here, because people really don't want to be getting an STI. And, but the other thing is that because there's so much shame and stigma with having sex, that then when you get something in which you're identified as being dirty or it's sinful, it's a constant reminder of the fact that on some level you were doing something naughty, you were doing something wrong. And so that shame really burrows in. But they are common. So I really wish we could talk more openly about how common STIs are, and that if you do get something, which I'm not advocating for people to go out and get an STI, but you know what I mean? It is common, and it doesn't mean you're a bad person or you've done bad things.
Right, right. And I would just finally, we're totally out of time, but I would just encourage that person to, you know, figure out what their boundaries are, figure out what they want their safer sex practices to be, and stick to them. You know, basically approach it as, this is what I feel comfortable doing. And if someone says, well, you're lame, or that's not fun, or, oh God, I don't want to use a condom for a blowjob, then that's not the person for you to have sex with. It's just not a good fit. So I say become a sort of, you know, safer sex warrior and have at it. But we are out of time, and I have to thank you already. Thank you, Megan, for being on the show. It was so much fun.
Thank you so much for having me. It was a joy.
Megan Andieu is the founder and executive director of the Center for Sexual Pleasure and Health, and the author of Hot and Fast, Sexy Spontaneous Quickies for Passionate Orgasms. Find out more at omegan.com and thecsph.org. Follow her on Twitter at @HiOMegan. Follow the center on Twitter at @thecsph. All of these links and more can be found at sexoutloudradio.com. Click on the link for episode resources. You can always find me on Twitter at Tristan Taramino. I want to thank everyone who makes this show possible. Executive producer Karen Dana, associate producer Raymond Johnson, segment producer and editor Colton, announcer Cooper Beckett from Life on the Swing Set, Matt, my engineer, and everyone at Voice America. Tune in next Friday at 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Eastern for my final show on the Voice America Network. My guest will be sexologist Dr. Winston Wild, and we're going to be talking all about fetishes. So, get your fetish fix next week. Until then, I encourage you to keep the discussion going on Facebook.com/AskTristan, on Twitter, at Sex Out Loud Radio, and in your own life. Take some time to talk about sex out loud.
That's a wrap on today's show. Go to VoiceAmerica.com to listen to this and other episodes on demand or as podcasts. And make sure you come back next Friday night at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 Pacific, for Sex Out Loud with Tristan Taramino on Voice America Variety.
Sex Out Loud is brought to you by Good Vibrations, creating a buzz since 1977.